1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Ramos. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro detailed plans to repair the stretch of I-95 road that collapsed Sunday due to a tanker fire. The first phase, a temporary fix to fill and pave the collapsed portion to get traffic flowing.
Once complete, cars and trucks can return to this stretch of 95, and then we will work together to build a permanent bridge while making sure we keep six lanes of traffic open at all times that road construction, that bridge construction goes on.
The governor says crews will work around the clock. The producer price index dropped from April to May, another signal inflation is easing, something the Federal Reserve is weighing as it decides whether to raise or pause interest rates. Former President Trump is back at his New Jersey golf club after being arraigned yesterday on federal charges over his handling of classified documents. This is ABC News. There's concern that San Francisco could turn into a zombie city amid the homeless crisis and retailers fleeing the city. The latest includes Westfield, which owns the city's largest mall. In Japan, two people are dead after a military candidate allegedly opened fire on his colleagues.
Police say the incident occurred at a ground self-defense force run indoor shooting range during routine live fire drills. One victim is in serious condition. An 18-year-old new recruit was arrested at the scene. Local police tell ABC News a suspect has admitted to the shooting. Confessions from suspects in Japan are not uncommon. The rarity of gun violence, however, cannot be overstated, owing to the strict control and limited access to firearms for the general populace. Anthony Trotter, ABC News, Tokyo.
The union that represents Starbucks workers says employees were not allowed to decorate some stores for Pride Month. Starbucks denies the claims. Stephanie Ramos, ABC News.
Hey guys, this is Sage from Civic Media. Are you a small business struggling to get the word out? 1260 AM Lake Air is here to help. For a limited time, apply for a $200 grant and receive $1,000 worth of free advertising. Your $200 investment becomes $1,200 with this grant. That's right, you heard correctly. Get your business notice without breaking the bank. Visit civicmedia.us or call 608-949-8989. That's 608-949-8989 for more information. Don't miss out on this amazing opportunity.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civ Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We're getting word of a small plane crash near Watertown late this morning. We're still finding out information as it comes in. We'll tell you as much as we know right now on your local news coming up on many of these Civic Media radio stations. Governor Evers' deal with Republican leaders of the Wisconsin legislature on shared revenue may be in trouble. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Sources tell WisPolitics that advocates of the bill were still lobbying Republican senators into the night last night. A final vote on a share revenue bill is expected today. Under the bill, the state would send 20% of money raised from the state sales tax and send $1.5 billion to local communities. Aid would grow along with money raised from the sales tax. The money could only be spent on police and fire protection, emergency medical services and response communications, and public works and transportation. The Milwaukee City Council and County Board would have the option of voting to increase their local sales taxes. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
Meanwhile, the state assembly turns its attention to addressing Wisconsin's housing shortage. Lawmakers are setting aside an hour and 15 minutes to debate one bill called the NIMBY, or Not in My Backyard bill. It aims to stop people and groups from blocking development projects. Other bills would encourage Main Street housing and converting commercial buildings to apartments and condominiums. Wisconsin ranks high in the latest annual report measuring child well-being in the United States. But the Kids Count Databook rankings also show there's still work to do. Mike Moen reports.
The research from the Annie E. Casey Foundation now includes firm data from post-pandemic years, giving policy groups and nonprofits a better sense of how childhood development was affected by the crisis. Emily Miota of the statewide policy group Kids Forward says Wisconsin ranks 10th in the nation for overall child well-being, but she adds it's clear that many families are still struggling.
When parents are unemployed or are earning low wages, their access to resources to support their kids' development is more limited.
The report says 13% of Wisconsin children are living in poverty, and Miota says the crisis has exacerbated disparities in economic well-being. Nationally, there were worsening trends in reading and math scores and more kids whose parents lack secure employment. As for health, there's also been a significant increase in the number of babies born at low birth weights. I'm Mike Moen.
The well-being of one particular child is a big concern in the Baraboo area. Searchers are combing the area for a third day looking for 13-year-old James Yablonski. He hasn't been seen since he left his home in Reedsburg overnight Sunday with a knife and a handgun. Chip Meister is the Sauk County Sheriff. He tells NBC 15 in Madison that the search is focused on wooded areas near Baraboo Bluffs, Devil's Lake State Park, and the Sauk Prairie Recreational Area.
The woods is very thick. There's rock ledges, there's cliffs, there's, it's very thick in there, it's hard. You could be 6-8 feet from another deputy and you can't see that deputy.
Searchers got a break in the case when they found a makeshift campground with some of James's belongings on Monday. Two new drugs could slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease. Aduhelm and Leqembi are showing promising results in clinical trials. Lauren Livingston of the Alzheimer's Association says people in the early stages of Alzheimer's start to forget how to do routine tasks.
Forgetting how to use the microwave or forgetting how to get home from the grocery store, not being able to retrace their steps. Those are some really common signs.
There's still no cure. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News Time is 12:07.
Good afternoon. Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Kuska. A La Crosse County official expects that overdoses will increase over the summer. Chief Medical Examiner Beth Lubinsky said that the summer trend is for people to travel more, and that goes for drug trafficking too. Lubinsky told WXOW-TV that La Crosse's location is a reason why drugs like meth and fentanyl are on the rise.
La Crosse is right in between, you know, the cities in Minneapolis and Chicago, so it's kind of a thoroughfare. Of where we believe they're coming from, the Chicago area, their Milwaukee, up to the cities.
As of May, the La Crosse Police Department had over 100 calls for overdoses in the city this year. Every officer with the LCPD carries Narcan to help in response to overdose calls. It's the third day of searching for a missing boy in Sauk County. 13-year-old James Yablonski has been missing since Monday morning. The Sauk County Sheriff's Office said that the boy took his family's van, which was found along Highway 12 near the Baraboo Bluffs, or about 2 miles from Devil's Lake State Park. Officials said that a handgun was also missing from the family's home. The DNR and multiple law enforcement agencies are searching the woods on the ground and in the air, but said that the terrain has made the search challenging. Anyone with information is asked to call the Sauk County Sheriff's Office. An air quality advisory has been issued for all of northwestern and central Wisconsin through noon tomorrow. Wildfire smoke from Canada is pushing down through the upper Midwest, with current air quality unhealthy for children and people with certain medical conditions. And the state high school baseball championships are continuing today in Grand Chute, with the remaining semifinal games in Divisions 3, 2, and 1. St. Croix Falls blanked Keele in 6 innings this morning in Division 3, winning 10-0. Aquinas and Random Lake are playing right now in the other D3 semifinal. In Division 2, Altoona will play later this afternoon. Division 4's semifinals were last night. Ithaca and Pecatonica each got one-run victories. They'll play in tomorrow morning's Division 4 championship. All of the other championship games are tomorrow as well. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cusco.
Your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. It's getting hot in here. The dial has been turned up and the heat is blasting into the state again. High temperatures are going to climb into the mid-80s near the Mississippi Valley and into the low 80s throughout the central portions of the state. Meanwhile, Great Lakes towns will sit much more comfortable with highs hitting the 70s. That sunshine will be in full force today, but may look hazy as wildfire smoke from Canada makes its way back into the northwestern portions of the state now and works its way southeast throughout the day and into tomorrow morning. An air quality alert has been issued and is expected to reach an unhealthy for sensitive groups level. Chances for pop-up scattered showers and storms may strike this evening for some. mainly focused around the Green Bay area, but most of us will be staying dry. Have a wonderful Wednesday and stay cool, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers battle the Twins. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers had a 5-3 lead last night at Target Field. Christian Yelich with a double, a home run, and four runs batted in. But in the bottom of the ninth, the Twins' Michael A. Taylor hit a solo shot off of Milwaukee closer Devin Williams, Donovan Solano with an RBI single, and then shortstop Carlos Correa came to the plate with one run on. Dick Bremer with the call.
Now Correa. 4 on the night. A drive to left. Back and gone. Carlos Correa's signature moment in his year and a half for the Twins.
The Brewers losing 7-5. The Twins' Correa after the game on Bally Sports North.
Feels great. You know, they got a great team on the other side, great pitching, and, you know, Kobe Burns, he did a great job, but at the end of the day, you know, we were able to put good at-bats together, win the first game of this homestand, and let's go. Let's keep going.
In the visitors' clubhouse, the Brewers' Devin Williams, after suffering his first blown save of the season.
I mean, they put some good swings on the ball, and you saw the results. I don't really think I need to explain much. Taylor jumped on me early, and then I walk a guy, which can't happen. He steals second, base hit scores him. As much as you strive for it, you're never going to be perfect. You know, it's one of those days.
Craig Counsell.
You know, I mean, I think he was ahead of Taylor 0-1, and he was ahead of Correa 0-1. So, you know, he left the changeup up to Correa, and it was a high fastball to Taylor. So, you know, I know it doesn't happen often, but it's going to happen.
Milwaukee now trying to snap a 5-game losing streak. Game 2 of the 2-game series coming up here in a couple of minutes. First pitch at 12:10. Colin Ray on the mound against the Twins' Bailey Ober. And a roster move. The Brewers activated left-handed pitcher Eric Lauer from the DL, then optioned him to Nashville. Last night they signed outfielder Raimel Tapia after he was released by the Red Sox. Hockey, the Vegas Golden Knights won their first Stanley Cup with a 9-3 win over the Florida Panthers in just their 6th season as an NHL franchise. NFL, the Packers held practice during their minicamp, working on all 3 phases, including special teams. Rookie place kicker Anders Carlson was 5 of 6 in field goal attempts, making 1 from 54 yards out, but hitting the left upright from 44. Matt LaFleur.
He's got a lot of leg. He's got a big-time leg, and I think it's just kind of harnessing that power and making sure it's very consistent. But I think he's shown improvement throughout the course of the offseason.
Free agent safety Adrian Amos signing a 1-year deal with the Jets yesterday, becoming the 5th former Packer to join Aaron Rodgers. Quarterback Jordan Love completing passes to Christian Watson and a touchdown to Romeo Doubs with Jair Alexander in coverage.
Yeah, man, he deserved it, man. He's been working hard. I've been watching the practices, you know. Him and Christian has been standing out, so he's been working hard, man. He deserved that one, you know. But, you know, when camp come around, you know, we're going to see about that.
That's Packers defensive back Jair Alexander. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO. 608-949-8989.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly cloudy skies this afternoon with a high of 84.
Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected again. Tonight, lows level off around 54. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Highs level off around 76. Temperatures above average Friday and Saturday, with highs from the low 80s to the mid 80s. Chance for scattered storms Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 76.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Today, this is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio, where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. I am William Walter,
Policy Research Manage. Director
and Lead... Oh, sorry, Luke. Just giving the intro. Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. And you, good sir, are?
Stepping on your toes, apparently, this morning. We're still learning the dance here at Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers here at Civic Media, and we got Aaron on the board. You and the listening audience, if you want to share your thoughts with us on this edition of Town Call, 844-967-2789. How are you doing on this Wednesday afternoon, Will?
Well, it's a really good thing I brought my steel toes. I woke up this morning and was like, you know what? I'm going to go bootsy today, and I'm very happy that I did, because I have been protected from the immense weight of Luke stepping all over me.
Ouch, that's a fat joke right there. Okay, cool.
No. I meant you're an intellectual giant.
Cool. All right. So what are we talking about on this edition of Town Call, Will?
Well, it is June 14th. It's kind of nice, actually, finally, in my neck of the woods, even though I do still have the long sleeve on. I can deal with this weather. It's not too cold for me or anything. But June 14th, Luke, I don't know if you knew this, but it is like birthday haven today. Birthday Palooza. I like that. That's a better way to go with it. It is Flag Day, but it is also Fighting Bob Day, Robert La Follette Senior Day in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Public School Observance Day required by statute if school is in session, commemorating Robert La Follette, born June 14th of 1855, who served in the U.S. House of Representatives as governor in Wisconsin and in the U.S. Senate. He was one of the founders of the Progressive Party. Big shout out to Fighting Bob. If you have not read up on him, he is a monumental figure in Wisconsin history. And just a fascinating, fascinating individual that I think all Wisconsinites should be well-versed in. On top of Fightin' Bob, we also have Donald Trump's birthday. So got a little bit of an early birthday present yesterday. Che Guevara, Jim Sensenbrenner, Sam Perkins, Steffi Graf, three-time NBA champion Bruce Bowen, Gunna, and Montgomery Edward Scott, the chief engineering officer on the USS Enterprise, who is slated to be born in the year 2160.
In the year
2160.
30-some years from now. Yeah. Cool. Also, here at Civic Media, we got Dom Salvia, co-host of The Devil's Advocates, and a friend of mine, and I think the station, here in Madison, Mad Radio 92.7, Scott Ross. The ethics firebrand himself, Scott Ross, also. So as you noted, Flag Day, tons of birthdays, Birthday Palooza. If you have a birthday, we'd love to hear about it. 844-967-2789. Because, yeah, apparently a lot of people born on June 14th. Will?
Happy birthday to all the June 14ers. I'm doing a little mental math to see what was 9 months before today, and I can't think of anything that would be important or special. Like, it's the middle of September. I mean, my birthday is the end of September, so if everybody wants to celebrate that, that's fine. But you know, Fightin' Bob was born in the 1850s, so I was not really a thing at that point. Luke, we got a question for the audience today. We are talking budget at the state level. What are your priorities, Wisconsin? If you were an elected official, what would you like to see in the upcoming 2-year budget? We're going to start with the Republican delayed
844-967-2789 though. We want to know if you were a lawmaker in this little thought exercise, if you had the ability to contribute to the writing of the upcoming 2-year budget, what would you include? 844-967-2789. Give us a call, send us a text. We want to know.
Stepping on my toes again, Luke. I was going to get
there. You're wearing the boots. So now that I know that you've got safety, I don't feel bad about it.
True. That's why we would better be – I'm a big proponent of better safe than sorry. So I will always take that approach from now on. I think I might have to wear the steel toes every day just in case. So we're reading from a piece at the AP, Republicans delay vote on University of Wisconsin budget after promises to cut diversity funds. Republican state lawmakers on Tuesday suspended a vote on funding for the University of Wisconsin campuses hours after a top GOP leader promised to slash the college system's budget as part of an ongoing fight over diversity and inclusion initiatives. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, the state's top Republican, told the AP on Tuesday he expected the GOP-controlled legislature's budget writing committee to cut all funding that the university system would use for diversity initiatives, estimating the cuts would total $32 million. Now, Luke, this is very, very interesting because obviously, Voss's plan was to simply remove DEI initiatives in every way, shape, and form, but he could not do that. So instead, he cut the value he estimated them to be worth from the budget and said he's essentially threatening the UW system, right? You could just remove these things that we want gone and the rest of your budget will stay the exact same and you don't have to worry about cuts. Or if you want to keep a program that I don't think is necessary, then you're going to have to find a way to save that $32 million elsewhere. It's frankly gross.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out that Democratic Governor Tony Evers, when learning about this, essentially equated the threat of these budget cuts to war on higher education in Wisconsin. So it seems like this is going to be the next sticking point for the divided government here in Wisconsin. And I think it's to be expected that there's not going to be a whole lot of kumbaya right away. There's going to be some negotiations. There's going to be compromises sought. And so the starting point now for the UW systems budget negotiations are the Governor Evers administration is seeking a $305 million increase to the budget. And Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and I would assume it's going to be the line for Republicans, at least in the assembly, if not in the legislature as a whole, is to cut the funding by $32 million. I have a feeling we're going to, as a state of Wisconsin, experiencing divided government right now, come somewhere in the middle of those two numbers, but it's going to be interesting to see how those conversations continue to be had. There was 8 hours of closed-door discussions among lawmakers yesterday, ultimately around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night last night. They said, hey, we're not going to be voting on this anymore. We're going to suspend this vote. And so it's interesting that this is where the Republican caucus is when it comes to funding the UW system. I think it's important to note that kind of shows that maybe there's not just divided government between the legislature and the governor's office. Maybe there's divided government among Republican lawmakers as well, because an 8-hour closed session is a long closed door session, Will. That is a long time to be discussing behind those doors on what to do for University of Wisconsin system funding for the next 2 years. And ultimately, if they don't come to a compromise, it will be interesting to see what happens. But we want to know what your priorities would be if you were in behind those closed doors, if you had the option to and the opportunity to contribute to writing the upcoming 2-year budget. What would you include? 844-967-2789. We want to hear from you. You're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. You can call or text 844-967-2789.
And if you would like to, you can be like Jack from Merrimack. Jack, what's on your mind today?
Republicans continue to follow their fearless leader who once said, I love the poorly educated. They're going to do everything they can to cut public education and give it whatever excuses they want to. Of course, right now, they're just firing towards inciting their base. Oh, diversity, this is racist. Excuse me? That's exactly the opposite. But more importantly, these guys have been gerrymandered in so long that they think there are absolutely no voter consequences. That's
for the last 12, 13 years. That's what they found out. And they just don't care what they do. They're going to do what they want to do, and to heck with anybody else. If I were Governor Evers and had any input into it, I would start out with their first top 10 priorities. The first thing I would take off the list is I would say I'm going to absolutely line item veto any private money, any public money for private education in this state. And then I'd go down the list to the next nine important topics and say, I'm going to veto this and this and this and this. Now let's talk and really compromise. Because that's what's got to happen. These guys don't listen to anything else.
That's a great point, Jack. Well, and Jack, what do you think about this? So the plan that the legislative Republicans have proposed will be boosting funding to K-8 private choice schools from about $8,400 per student to $9,500 per student, while private choice high schools will go from $9,045 per student to $12,000 per student. Robin Voss said, quote, "The good news is every one of the numbers is still less than what is spent on any public school in the state. We are lucky in Wisconsin that we have an incredibly robust school choice program for the kids who need a different school and the parents who want a different alternative. They will have the resources to keep those schools as great as they are today." He is essentially stating that, you know, we are going to siphon these public dollars and give them to the private schools because they're better, they're more efficient. I'm not sure, but it seems like another attempt by legislative Republicans to kind of distance themselves, their friends, and their children from what they see as the rest of us, the public schoolites, the regular people that we're not a part of. We're able to privatize that. Do you think that's acceptable?
I think that's absolutely outrageous. First thing I'm going to say about that is this. I spent over 40 years teaching at a whole bunch of different levels, from sixth grade through university, in public, private, and parochial schools in Wisconsin and Minnesota both. And first of all, the important testing that all the Republicans rely on shows pretty clearly there is no significant difference between the results of private schools and public schools. The second thing is that school choice means that just exactly that. The school gets to choose, and I know because I worked in at least one of those, the school gets to choose whom they decide to take on and who they don't want to. And boy, if there's anybody that's got any problems and really needs some help, they don't get it. And I know because I was told specifically that by the administration at the private school that I worked at. I said, these kids have this problem, and your people have this training. They should be working with them. And he said, well, we can't afford to do that. So school choice, yeah, they get to choose whom they serve and whom they don't.
That's a brilliant point as well, Jack. Actually, I'd like to get back to that after the break, if you don't mind sticking around, because as you noted, private schools aren't held to the same standards as public schools. They are able to discriminate against those who have potentially have special needs, against the LGBTQ plus community. They don't have to accept students for any reason that they deem inappropriate, which means they are siphoning our public funds off to be able to create a specialized environment with only individuals that they want there. It's gross, and we're going to continue covering it after the break. We want to hear from you. What are your priorities? What would you like to see in the upcoming budget? Give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll see you right after the break.
And if you got a birthday shout out, share it. It's Birthday Palooza on Town Call.
Birthday Palooza, happy birthday.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Ramos. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro detailed plans to repair the stretch of I-95 road that collapsed Sunday due to a tanker fire. The first phase, a temporary fix to fill and pave the collapsed portion to get traffic flowing.
Once complete, cars and trucks can return to this stretch of 95, and then we will work together to build a permanent bridge while making sure we keep six lanes of traffic open at all times that road construction, that bridge construction goes on.
The governor says crews will work around the clock. The producer price index dropped from April to May, another signal inflation is easing, something the Federal Reserve is weighing as it decides whether to raise or pause interest rates. Former President Trump is back at his New Jersey golf club after being arraigned yesterday on federal charges over his handling of classified documents. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A La Crosse County official expects that overdose deaths will increase over the summer. The county's chief medical examiner said that the summer trend is for people to travel more, and that goes for drug traffickers too. Already this year, the La Crosse Police Department has had over 100 calls for overdoses in the city. The county official said that the reason La Crosse is seeing so much drug activity is that it is in the middle of larger cities like Minneapolis, Chicago, and Milwaukee, and also sits on the interstate. Every officer with the LCPD carries Narcan to help in response to overdose calls. In the state high school baseball championships, they continue along today, the D3, D2, and D1 semifinals. It starts with Aquinas taking on Random Lake, followed by St. Croix Falls against Keele. Altoona will play this afternoon at 1 p.m. D4 semifinals were last night, with Ithaca and Pecatonica advancing to tomorrow morning's championship thanks to one-run wins last night. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cusk.
More than 130,000 car accidents occur in Wisconsin each year. If you're in an accident and experience any injuries or losses caused by another, you may be entitled to compensation. Gingras Thompson & Walks has over 35 years of experience in handling car accident cases. Their team of personal injury attorneys is dedicated to helping you get the justice you deserve.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
From gas to groceries, Wisconsinites are feeling it. Higher prices are making it tough to pay your bills. So why are some in Washington pushing a new, costly mandate that'll make things harder for Wisconsin consumers? It'll mean the credit card rewards you enjoy will go away. That's right. Earning cash back, points, or miles all could vanish. Washington bureaucrats think they know better. Consumers and Main Street will lose big. That's why we need Representative Tom Tiffany to step up and help stop this harmful new mandate. Please call Representative Tiffany at 202-225-3365. Urge Representative Tiffany to stand with consumers. Paid for by American Bankers Association, ABA.com.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, FOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989.
Welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. Today we are talking the Wisconsin budget. What are your priorities, Wisconsin? What would you like to see enacted in the upcoming two-year budget if you were an elected official? And Luke, we've been covering education particularly in the budget, and something that I want to touch on that I think we haven't really covered enough or as in depth as we probably should is the massive teacher shortage that we're seeing in public schools. If you're a teacher, if you have experience with teachers, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. You can be like Jack from Merrimack. Jack, as someone who has worked in the education department, you have to be seeing this as well, right? A 2022 survey by School Choice Wisconsin found 355 open K-12 positions at the 133 school choice schools that responded, while similar research found MPS was down 230 teachers, and the Madison Metropolitan School District had a 140 teacher vacancy during that time frame. We are asking a lot of our teachers. We are not giving them the respect and dignity that, in my opinion, they deserve, and frankly, they're significantly underpaid. Are all of these issues intertwined? What do you think we could be doing to be drawing more teachers to the state of Wisconsin?
Well, the first thing that you'd have to do is get rid of Act 10. I mean, that's just been a disaster. That, in fact, was one of the things, not the only thing, but one of the things that caused me to retire when I finally did after 40 years of teaching. My son, who just recently graduated from the university with a degree in teaching, is not going to teach in Wisconsin because the climate for teaching in this state has been made so hostile by things like Act 10, he's going to go to Minnesota to teach.
Now, Jack, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said that all of the U-Hauls would be coming to Wisconsin from Minnesota because of the taxes that they passed in Minnesota. You're telling me that there's a U-Haul going the other way because of the teaching climate here in Wisconsin?
Oh, for sure. That's the case with, again, with my son. You know, I can't speak for other people, but I do know that that is the primary reason that he's going to Minnesota. It is, and it's not just the hostile environment for teaching. It's the overall environment of the state. Everything from the lack of expansion of Badger Care, which could have been taken care of in the budget, to cannabis reform, which could have been taken care of in the budget, to women's medical rights, which is a separate issue, but is still important to young people.
I think that's incredibly interesting, Jack, that you mentioned Badger Care expansion as well as cannabis legalization, because that is a topic we will be jumping to in a couple of minutes. But first, I want to hear from Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, what are your thoughts on the upcoming budget?
Well, I think it's ridiculous that the Republicans are vastly increasing the funding for the private and the voucher schools, that when they're not required to the same testing requirements as the public schools. That it has been pointed out that if a child in the private schools doesn't meet up to their standards, they can just eject that child, keep the money, and eject that child from the school system. And because in Wisconsin, you know, children are entitled to a education as citizens of the state of Wisconsin, that the public schools would have to accept them. And it's just is another sign of the Republican hypocrisy on this issue that just continues to gall me, because those voucher schools should all be subject to the same testing requirements as any of the public schools, required to meet the same standards as any of the public schools. Then they can say, well, if the parents are satisfied, that's good enough for us. Well, baloney, you know, that we are also a customer as taxpayers of those voucher schools.
Well, and Mark, it seems like the voucher expansion is going to be included in the upcoming biennial budget through the compromise to send roughly 20% of all future state sales tax back to local communities to address the problems that we've been seeing in the shared revenue formula and local communities not having the resources they need to fund all kinds of services, from emergency response, firefighting, police officers, law enforcement, to roads, to any number of priorities that these communities have to fund. It seems like voucher schools are going to get a boost in this upcoming budget through that compromise. But what would you like to see in the upcoming budget, Mark? If you were behind those closed doors, what would you like to see included in the upcoming two-year budget?
Well, I'd like to see the engineering school actually funded, because that would bring in more students to the state of Wisconsin and provide for more educated engineers that we need as part of, you know, our growing economy. And but I'd also like to see, as I just stated, that if the voucher schools are going to be receiving the state funds, that they should be required to meet the same standards as the public schools. and get the public, you know, because I'm a public product of the public schools. And I remember very well my grade school teachers, you know, high school teachers, junior high school teachers, you know, and the lessons that they taught. I mean, that, you know, I think that they would be, a lot of the Republicans today would have been horrified at the information that I was given as a fifth grader about the Nazis and the Holocaust. I mean, that I was given vivid descriptions by fifth and sixth grade teachers about how the evils of the Nazis. And I don't think the Republicans today would think very highly of that, because that, you know, they want to think that everything, I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, I just have a hard time wrapping my mind around,
so higher standards for the receiving of the public dollars for voucher schools is what you'd like to see included in the upcoming biennial budget.
I'd like to see that too. If we expect public schools to meet those higher standards, then the voucher schools should meet those standards as well. And if you want to start educating kids, you got to start early. You got to provide kids from the time that they're born with a good medical care and opportunities, you know, learning opportunities before they even get into school. Because I can remember my mother was reading to me back when I was a small child, and I had books memorized that my grandfather actually tried to start spouting nonsense when he was reading to me back to me in the Golden Book of Dinosaurs. Apparently I turned to him, because just reading nonsense, apparently I turned to him and said, I know that's not what it says. And it must have been like, you know, three or four when he was saying this.
Memorizing the books back then, Mark, and increasing funds for literacy here in Wisconsin, part of the compromises as well that are being discussed between lawmakers in the state capitol, along with the Evers administration and the Department of Public Instruction. Appreciate your contribution to today's edition of Town Call, Mark. You can be like Mark, 844-967-2789. We want to hear if you were a lawmaker, if you had the ability to contribute to the budget writing process, what would you include in the upcoming two-year budget? 844-967-2789. And Will, as you noted, there are a variety of things that we know are going to be included and know aren't going to be included, especially after some comments yesterday at a forum that was attended by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
Mm-hmm. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss reading from a piece over at WPR, noting that, as the piece is titled, Medicaid expansion will never happen, but medical marijuana might. Voss said Wisconsin's Badger Care program covers the state's poorest citizens, making Medicaid expansion unnecessary. Now, this is, again, as we have now heard from multiple callers, the vast majority of Wisconsinites support the expansion of Medicaid in the state, and the vast majority of Wisconsinites support, at a minimum, medical marijuana legalization. That's not even to get into the discussion of recreational, but Robin Voss, at a luncheon hosted by Wisconsin Health News at the Madison Club, spoke about his healthcare priorities, including his overarching philosophy that American healthcare is accessible and high quality and therefore costs more. Luke, you noted this during the break, how humorous that kind of statement was, because every piece of information out there says otherwise.
I would think that he hasn't spent a whole lot of time in the medical world, then, would be my guess. Mm-hmm. From comments like that, he hasn't had a whole lot of experience with the medical system, would be my takeaway from those comments. But we want to know. So Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, not going to include Badger Care or Medicaid expansion in the upcoming budget. He says it's never going to be, it's a non-starter as long as he is the leader of the Republican caucus in the state assembly. What would you include in the upcoming biennial budget? We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. We got Lou from Cudahy calling in. Lou, what would you like to see included in the upcoming budget?
Well, if I was a Wisconsin legislator, I would increase budgeting for homeschool situations and for charter schools, because when those kids get out of those school situations, they actually can spell, they can write, they have word comprehension. They know how to separate words into syllables so you can sound a word out and figure it out. They don't get that with public schools. They can't read at grade level. They can't do math at grade level in public schools. That's why public schools are a failure. And that also is why parents want to remove their kids. They're not getting educated. They are getting indoctrinated into leftist ideology. What do you think of that?
Lou, I went through public school, and I can read pretty well.
Really?
Well, you would be the exception, not the rule.
Are you sure?
I also went through public school, Lou,
and I
read quite well.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. That's good because you are the exception. Public schools are a monster failure. That's why in other states and in our state, Wisconsin's public schools are failures, and the people who want to get their kids educated either through homeschool or charter schools, they're happy to move. That's why I know that people from the left, like you, are frightened of losing control of the educational system because that's how you indoctrinate people. And I can appreciate how you wouldn't like charter schools.
Lou, I'm curious if you have any data that backs up your assertion that public schools are completely failing.
Go on the internet and you can find all kinds of Google it and see what you come up with.
That's interesting, Lou. You're putting the onus on us to prove the point that you are trying to make. I don't know if you're familiar with research journals and how they generally work, but when you are making a statement, it's typically on the individual to have the information that backs that up rather than just saying, go and find it yourself. I don't know if this has changed since the time that I spent involved, but...
Since you're the wizard of smart, can you give me a reason why there's such a big exodus out of the public schools and into private schools and into charter schools? What would be the reason?
Well, I guess, first of all, I'd like to know where you're seeing that information, that people are leaving public schools en masse to private schools. I can speak from, I'll give you a personal anecdote in that I attended Germantown High School, which is, you know, rural suburban-ish high school, considered one of the better schools in the state, significant amount of individuals who went to some of the highest rated national universities. And we did not have any of the problems, I guess, that you have been in pointing out that public schools tend to have. We had very high standardized test scores. Now, if you want to argue whether standardized test scores is the end all be all, that's fine. I'm more than willing to have that conversation. I think public schools should be teaching critical thought. But as the American education system is currently built, we do use standardized test scores to kind of judge which students are at higher or lower levels than other students. And public schools produce a significant percentage of the total graduates of universities at the state level because we have so many students that are in these schools. Where did you go to high school, if you don't mind me asking, Luke?
I do mind you asking. I wouldn't tell that to somebody from the left.
Did you go to a public high school, Lou?
If you're on this radio station,
Lou, did you go to a public high school?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay, well, it's a shame that you won't contribute to the conversation and share whether or not you got a public education. It seems strange that if you did, that you're so against it now. It's also important to point that there are problems still in public schools. I think one of the largest problems is the fact that public school districts have to be reliable on property taxes for funding, and therefore poorer areas have fewer resources to be able to put in to those public schools. And then when those same areas are attacked by conservative or liberal state lawmakers at any point, they are the ones hurt the most. And so, yeah, there are flaws to the system. The system can be improved, but it's very difficult to fund two systems at the same time, which is what is happening right now. We are funding both the public system and a private voucher system with state tax dollars. And we want to hear what you think, though. 844-967-2789. Do you agree with Lou, or what would you like to see in the upcoming budget? Share your thoughts here on Town Call.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
It's go time at Chula Vista. Time for you to discover Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. 200,000 square feet of water park fun. New thrills like zip line racing. 18 holes of classic golf. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse. Hundreds of newly renovated rooms. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the nation's top 10 indoor water parks per USA Today's 2023 Reader's Choice Awards. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 84. North winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 54. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 76. Temperatures above average Friday and Saturday with highs from the low 80s to the mid 80s. Chance for scattered storms Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 77.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Up in the morning and out to school.
Welcome back. This is Town Hall. We are talking the Wisconsin upcoming budget and particularly regarding education in the state of Wisconsin, private versus public schools. We have Greg from Waukesha on the line. If you want to be like Greg, give us a call, 844-967-2789. How are you doing, Greg?
Hi, I'm great. Hey, I don't have much to say about education, but one of the things that I think that needs to be looked at in the budget is I'm totally blind myself, and I rely on transportation, buses, cabs, you know, Ubers, et cetera, to get around. And not just buses, but I mentioned those other things just to mention them and say that they're alternative forms. And I'd like to see more, investment in the transportation sector of things, specifically for disabilities. This is something that the disability community has been kind of wanting, is more and more transportation options. City buses aren't always the most convenient or reliable sometimes, but just more in Waukesha County. I know that we have a program called the Share Fare Taxi Program, which is through the County Department of Senior Services. But I'd like to see more investment in the areas of transportation and transportation research.
Thank you so much for sharing. We actually covered yesterday's episode was pretty much entirely about public transportation. The value that it can provide to a community and how important it really is to have those options available. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We have Mike from Wisconsin Rapids on the line. Mike, what would you like to see in Wisconsin's biennial budget?
Mike, do we have you? All right, we'll have to go back to Mike in a little bit. We'll see if Aaron can check on Mike there. But let's go over to Chris in Madison now. Chris, what would you, if you were behind these closed doors in the legislature, getting to contribute to what would be included in the upcoming two-year budget, what would you like to see funded here in the state of Wisconsin, Chris?
I was going to first comment on Lou. I think he's full of it. Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you. We can hear you.
Okay. Yeah.
You were on a roll. I didn't want to cut you off.
Yeah. My son went to the second best private school in Madison, and it really ruined him for school. He, after leaving there, he was a COVID kid, so he transitioned to high school during COVID. But he refused to go to school for like 2 years after going to that private school. And he loves West now, but he refused to go to school for over 2 years. And it really hurt him with his schooling. And I went to public schools in 2000. I graduated in 2000, and they were the best in the nation in Madison back then. We had the top four schools in the nation in Madison, which is so this privatization of everything is just ruining things. And Act 10 just wrecked the schools also. So my mom retired during the Act 10 debacle. And these people just don't know, aren't paying attention to things 6 months ago, much less 10 years ago.
And Chris, your mother was a teacher? She retired from teaching during that?
She was an LD teacher before that.
Gotcha.
And she taught for 15 years in Madison schools.
And we're losing excellent teachers left and right, as you said, because of policies such as Act 10. Wisconsin is facing a massive, massive teacher shortage. We're going to go back to the phone lines again. Thanks for joining us today, Chris. We have Dick from Madison. Dick, what would you like to see in the biennial budget?
I'd like to respond to Lou as well. My oldest daughter, she's 36 now, so this is back in about, we had situations where she went to a private parochial school in Madison, I won't name the parish, until fifth grade, and then from then on, public. Okay. Along about 1996, I was dropping her off at school, and it was election time. And I don't know if you guys remember the little signs that used to say, "We vote pro-life," and they had kind of a flag, what looked like a flag, you know, behind it. Well, this was also a polling place. And when he talks about indoctrinating or pushing an agenda, I went right into the school office that day and I said, I've got a question. This is right on the walkway up to the building. I believe that's called electioneering. Is that the term? And
yes.
I don't think that sign is appropriate outside of a polling place. So to Lou, who thinks that, you know, this liberal agenda or whatever, don't give me that. Because I've seen it from, you know, I've seen it firsthand. I said, I would like that sign removed today. And you should have seen the look on their face. It was like, well, and all this. And I said, no, this is wrong. You can have this belief as this church. Move that up the parking lot to where the church is, not down here by the school. And then I'm fine with it.
And there's a reason that polling places are not allowed to have any type of, individual candidate or partisan type behavior there, because it is supposed to be a place of independence. And I think you made a good point as well, Dick, that there is the idea that these private schools are somehow, I don't know if superior is the right word, but we have anecdotal experience from numerous callers now who have shared their personal experience. And I think, you know, if you go and talk to the people of Wisconsin, if you talk to the teachers of Wisconsin, you'll see that public schools really are the bedrock of a lot of our communities.
Yeah, and I, like Dick's daughter, I also had parochial education and public education. I valued them both, but to belittle one over the other, I think is nonsense. We got about a minute left. Let's head over to Mike in Wisconsin Rapids. Mike, what would you like to see in the upcoming biennial budget?
I guess what I'd like to see is fiscal responsibility. I don't know. You know, the problem is everybody wants stuff, but how do you pay for it? And as a business person my entire life, taxes keep going up and up. Now, maybe it's not necessarily the income tax, but stuff that used to be included in tax is now a fee, other fees for things that used to be included. And I think fiscal responsibility. I went to public school, and I got a good education. I went to Nacoosa. I got a good education. My daughters and my wife went to parochial school, and I believe I got a better education.
That's completely fair. Sorry to cut you short, Mike, but we got to head to the end here. It's important to note as well, though, the budget, $7 billion surplus. And so having fiscal responsibility, we've seen it over the last 2 years, and hopefully we'll continue to see it. Folks, this has been Town Call. Tune in tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
From gas to groceries, Wisconsinites are feeling it. Higher prices are making it tough to pay your bills.
So why are some in Washington pushing a new, costly mandate that'll make things harder for Wisconsin consumers? It'll mean the credit card rewards you enjoy will go away. That's right. Earning cash back, points, or miles all could vanish. Washington bureaucrats think they know better. Consumers and Main Street will lose big. That's why we need Representative Tom Tiffany to step up and help stop this harmful new mandate. Please call Representative Tiffany at 202-225-3365. Urge Representative Tiffany to stand with consumers. Paid for by American Bankers Association, ABA.com.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Ramos.